Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Mr. Ed Alexander, producing and engineering the show on the other side of the glass, and we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show for this Thursday. It is January the 15th. Today really is the official, by the way, birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King. We kind of changed it around to the make it convenient with that first Monday holidays, and we'll be celebrating that coming up on Monday, but today is the official day for Dr. King's birthday. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, which means you can hear the program as long as you've got access to a computer literally anywhere in the world. We have a very full hour. We'll get the showdown going here, and then the second half hour, Dr. Ann Weaver Hart, the president of the University of Arizona, will be joining us. So we've got a full show loaded with content as usual. The Buckmaster Show live line is 790-2040, and our Facebook page is very simple. If you know my name, you can find us on Facebook. That's Bill Buckmaster. The monthly showdown features two gentlemen who rarely agree on anything. In the right-hand corner, weighing in at, no, Sean McCluskey, Tea Party and Republican Party activist, the left-hand corner, avowed leftist, David Morales, creator of the Three Sonorans blog site, which is looking pretty good. Congratulations. Your website, you've made some upgrades. Looks very good. And Sean, Happy New Year to both of you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Happy New Year.
This is the only radio show in the Tucson market where folks really from the left and right sit down on a regular basis to debate the issues. And we think that's good for democracy, and we hope that the listeners agree as well. So we're going to get right at it. David Morales traveled to San Francisco, sat in the courtroom during the hearing at the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The judges there were hearing from Arizona, well, I guess representatives from the Arizona Attorney General's Office on Arizona's ethnic studies law, which we no longer really have a law, which has been banned. How do you think that's going to go?
Arizona looked really bad. I think at the Ninth Circuit, when they were asked a lot of questions, the video is actually online on threesonorans.com, and you can see the back and forth between the judges and the lawyers, and you know, the judges kept harping at, you know, how is this not targeting, how does this not show, racial animus or something like that? Because it targeted only the Mexican-American Studies program in TUSD. It was written for the Mexican-American Studies program in TUSD, and has only been applied, which all of those are unconstitutional. You can't write laws just to target a group of people and then apply it only, you know, at one group of people.
They didn't target a group of people. They targeted a school district, because no other school district, Marana School, where your kids go, they don't teach Mexican-American studies, do they?
Nope.
Okay, so they targeted a school district, not a subset of people.
They targeted a program that is
at a school district,
predominantly Mexican-American, and that teaches Mexican-American history and literature, and that was ran on ads. You know, Tom Horn ran on the issue, John Hubenthal ran on the issue, and so...
But you're saying it really is
It's a directive of the school district. It's not of the individuals. You're making this personal, and it's not. It's about the school district. The school district is the only one teaching a non-curriculum-based Mexican-American studies. If you look at all the other Mexican-American studies throughout the country, they all have a curriculum, and they're all approved by their school board.
No.
Wasn't approved by
no.
their school board.
There's only
what about
one.
Texas?
They don't have one. They're creating one.
But and who approved it? Their school board.
The state, the Department of Education approved it.
Same difference.
What you're doing is you're kind of taking the humanity out of this issue. I mean, there's teachers that teach these classes to real students. It's not just...
Regardless.
It
matters. It is a school district, not about a human being.
David takes it, as you know, Sean, very,
very personal. But he has nothing to do with it, which is astonishing to me, because your kids go to Marana School District, do they not?
No.
They don't?
I grew up there.
Okay, so are your kids going to TUSD?
No.
Okay, so you're fighting for something that your kids can't even partake in, which is fascinating.
I live in TUSD, and that's why it matters to me. And it's also just a matter of justice. I mean, when I was a graduate student, I was very involved, and a lot of people were very involved in the intelligent design and creationist debates that were taking across the country. There's this basic desire by scholars like myself to have the truth taught about history and stuff, and the state legislatures that have these agendas, usually religious agendas, try to ban teaching the truth.
Watch this real quick. This morning, we had a catastrophe happen on this very station. Somebody brought up the fact that there's no flag in the community center. The community got together and rallied up and got enough money to put this flag in the community, in the Tucson Convention Center. If this is so important in the Mexican community, why are none of the Hispanic leaders, Grijalva, take your pick, Raul or Adelita, take Regina Romero, take Richard Elias, take Valadez, take all the rest of them, mm-hmm. any of them, none of them stand up for Mexican-American studies. The community has not come behind you and given you money to continue this program elsewhere. There is no outcry except for a few handful of people that want this program. Where is the Hispanic outreach? Where is the Hispanic community coming up screaming that they want this? There's nobody. None of your leaders are out there. Why?
Well, I mean, what you're saying sounds nice and passionate, but it's actually false. I mean, most of these people that you mentioned are actually on the MS advisory board, and they have had many.
Adelita Grijalva is pro Mexican American studies.
She voted against the ban in January 10th,
2012. Show me one spot where she stands up in the community and rallies people and fundraises to continue this study.
You need to stop lying on the radio, because I have videos that prove you wrong. I mean, all of these people, Raul Grijalva asked for a civil rights investigation.
Of Mexican-American studies. He asked for an investigation.
Yeah, after he supported the program. I mean, I don't know what you're trying to do here, but I mean, I think they could do more. That's true. But they have all come out publicly in support. I have Richard Elias on countless videos standing in front of 1010, you know, supporting these programs. I mean, so...
It sounds like Sean is trying to point out that...
he's lying is what he's doing.
Well, he's making a case. I think he's trying to make a case that you're a kind of a lone voice.
Yeah, there's very few of you.
You have to ignore the facts to make your case.
No, there's
saying.
Very
I
few
have,
of you.
You say that there's zero.
They're right now, if this was so important to the community, you, regardless of the government institution, the education system, mm-hmm. you wouldn't need it. Would have a community center and have people teaching Mexican American studies right now, funded by the community, if it was so important to the community.
Now, how was it created? It was created by the community. It was created by a demand by the community. The community inputted it. Now, why is it not tied anymore? Because the state.
No.
The state.
The only way that you can have this
MAS
is if you teach it in schools. You're not willing
still
to do
be
it
here if
and
the
have
state
it fully funded.
It.
And have it as an individual program, are you?
You cannot fully fund it if the state takes 10% of the budget
they
out.
They raised money for a flag this morning to the tune of like
$3,000. A flag is not
$15
million.
Guys,
the state is banning.
You have one school district that teaches it. It no longer teaches it. Nowhere
else is it
taught.
Because it's banned in this state.
David, let me ask you, if the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals goes the way you believe it will go, what happens now to this this period where the new school superintendent has said that this TUSD has to come in compliance within 60 days?
Well, one of the provisions has already been struck down, and there's three left, and I think that they will be struck down. And if you can see the video arguments for yourself. What this does is this makes the state law unconstitutional, just as 1070. Most of it has been ruled unconstitutional at the Ninth Circuit. I mean, I don't know why the Tea Party supports, you know, unconstitutional laws when they're so for the Constitution. But this is the fact, and this is in Arizona, all these laws have been ruled unconstitutional, and I think this one will. Now, what I think the district can do is just hold out until this ruling and fight this this recent ruling by John Hubenthal, and, you know, Douglas is going to take it up. Although she actually wants him to incorporate ethnic studies into the Common Core, which is interesting because I remember debating a few months ago about how much you loved her because she ran on that issue.
You have
Common
to pick
Core.
And choose how she's doing it. She wants to provide the history. She doesn't want to have Mexican
it's still
American
Common Core,
studies.
Though.
It's,
you know, you
the
hate
history aspect.
Common Core is evil.
Common Core is not the answer to the solution.
Do you believe, David, you're going to be on the right side of history on this argument?
Definitely, of course. I mean, this is a civil rights issue. I mean, if we were fighting, you know, 40 years ago, 60, you know, you'd be fighting for creationism, intelligent design. You'd be saying that, you know, separate but equal is okay. I mean, this is the evolution of our social, you know, consciousness over time. And there's nothing wrong. Like, for example, you can't tell me what you will tell me is hypothetical nonsense that you've heard about what is taught in these classes. These classes are just basically history and literature. And the stuff that you guys come up with on your side about they're teaching the promoting the overthrow of the U.S. government and all this stuff. I mean, it's
history.
Nonsense.
Please explain to me the history of Aztlán, or however you say it, because I pronounce
where is
that
taught in these classes?
Was there anything?
You don't know.
Was Azzalon taught?
No, it's not.
Then where did it come from?
First of all, it's in the literature. It's a literature term. I mean, just like manifest destiny. I mean, that's not fact. That's just ideas. And so you describe to me what Aslan is.
It's fantasy land to me.
Okay. What is it,
because it doesn't exist, and nor did it ever exist. Show me one person.
Did the Garden of
that.
Eden exist? Does,
again, we're talking about mythical objects.
Okay, but you don't ban it, right? They have a Bible class in TUSD that was incorporated right after they banned Mexican-American studies.
Okay, let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-24. Ingrid, go ahead. Hello, Ingrid.
Hello. I'd like to ask if, instead of having Mexican-American studies or no Mexican-American studies, if the gentleman would prefer to have thorough, full American studies and tell the full whole story of the history of our country. I'll hang up and listen for my radio.
Okay. Ingrid, thank you very much. David, I think she's trying to say, just why not include Mexican-American studies as part of the broader picture
of
American...
It should be taught in all of American U.S. history.
American U.S.
It's a part of U.S. history that took place. The
why does it need to be separate, I think, is what Ingrid is saying.
Well, I mean, you know, there's so much that's part of American history. I mean, the question could be asked is, why don't we postpone teaching predominantly white American history until these classes are fully incorporated? Why don't we stop teaching European history, which is allowed, as American history credit in TUSD? Why are we teaching?
That's a TUSD problem, not a state problem. Again,
AP European history is taught all across the country. Okay, why teach English literature? Why is it not ethnic studies when we study about the Greeks and the Romans and, you know, Western civilization? Why is that not ethnic? Why is it only when we learn about Mexican Americans, which is important in this area because this is Tucson? Why does Mexican American history only start in 1848 and not go back, you know?
David, let me ask you this. In the state of Arizona, we're predominantly a Hispanic culture. Would you agree?
We're getting there.
Then why is it only taught in TUSD? Out of all the school districts throughout the entire state of Arizona, it's taught in one school district.
Because it just began in TUSD last decade, and it was spreading. And it's been spreading to California and Texas.
Mexican-Americans have been in Arizona for hundreds of years, according to you. But
yes,
you're just now starting this program? And now that it's not funded by the government entity, you have no program.
All right, we've got Sean McCluskey here and David Morales. This is the Monthly Showdown. We've got a couple of callers on hold, but we are past our first break. So let's take the break right here, Ed, and then we'll ask our callers. Please be patient, and we will get to them right away after the break. This is the Showdown.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. There's always a party or event going on somewhere, thanks to Arizona Party Rental. We're ready to roll out the red carpet for you. Listen to what our customers have to say.
Over 350 teams, over 5,000 players, plus their coaches, assistant coaches, families, and friends. It's a good thing the Tucson Association of Realtors Shootout has a winning team on our side, the Arizona Party Rental team. I'm Diana Cannon, Tournament Director for the Tucson Association of Realtors Shootout. We count on them for efficient, reliable, event setup and takedown, and the ability to meet our last-minute needs. The Tucson Association of Realtors Shootout celebrates youth soccer with the help of Arizona Party Rental. If you're planning an event, big or small, put Arizona Party Rental on your team.
Wow, that's great, Diana. Thanks to you and your team for your outstanding support of youth soccer. Before you plan your next special event, visit Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona. Stop by our showroom on Speedway just west of Alvernon or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
Please join the UA College of Science, which celebrates the premiere of its 10th free public lecture series starting Monday, January 26th. This year's 7 lecture series topic is Life in the Universe, which explores our universe of molecular, biological, and cosmic scale to ask, what is life and how do we recognize it? Each program starts at 7 p.m. More information at cos.arizona.edu.
Are you happy with the news you get? Well, not all news is good news. You know good reporting when you see it. And you can support solid, nonpartisan journalism by becoming a backer of TucsonSentinel.com's Panorama Project, an unprecedented effort to photograph every mile of the Arizona-Mexico border. Your local independent online news needs your help. Back Panorama on Kickstarter to support our ambitious project to paint a vivid and accurate picture of the borderlands. Go to TucsonSentinel.com/Panorama to learn more. And back us on Kickstarter today. TucsonSentinel.com. Because a smarter Tucson is a better Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine. Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us. How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is the monthly showdown. Sean McCluskey to the right of me, David Morales to the left of me, and let's go to Sean. Or excuse me, Josh has been waiting on the live line. Go ahead, Josh.
How are you guys?
Doing well.
I'd just like to point out that the original name of Mexican-American Studies was La Raza, which means the race, and ask David if any other ethnic group would call something the race, how he'd feel about it.
Okay.
Well, actually, the original name was Hispanic Studies, but La Raza is not an exact translation. I mean, like people like the Yoem, you know, what it means is the people. It means like humanity. It means a bigger race of people. It doesn't directly translate as the way Americans would translate it, as the race of people.
Sean, you were pointing out in the first segment that you believe that there would be a huge out, that David seems like he's in a minority speaking for this.
South side of Chicago. If you were to take away Irish American Studies in the south side of Chicago in the 50s, when it was primarily Irish community, there would be riots in the street, people chanting, people marching up and down the street as the community came together. Mm-hmm. Apparently, David, over the break, we discussed that there's 10,000 graduates of Mexican American Studies or participants. If that was the case, where are all these folks here locally in Tucson standing up screaming for what is rightfully theirs and what's predominantly in our Hispanic community? And again, I don't see any of the leaders in the streets. I don't see any of the Hispanic leaders coming out. I don't see anybody on the south side coming out. I don't see anybody in the northwest. Nowhere.
First of all, I mean, the fact that you don't see it is because you're not there seeing it. I mean, just because you close your eyes doesn't make it disappear. You can go to Three Sonorans and you can look at videos that I have. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of students outside 1010 in the cold in January at 11 o'clock at night, still hundreds of students. You can see it on May 3rd. You can see it at April 26th. You can see when the police were there.
When the kids stormed the dais?
Yeah, that was April 26th. You can see...
That's an uncontrolled, ruly group of teenagers ran up and stormed the dais. Yeah. I want somebody who's like a 30-year-old. If there's 10,000 people that graduated from this, give me somebody in the community who's predominant, that's successful, that's willing to contribute and put up cash money
to host a class
in the community center, somewhere in the community.
We've done that.
Where?
At the John Valenzuela Youth Center, we've had countless teach-ins.
When's the last one?
We have them all
when
the time.
When is the last? Give we me had, one in the last 30
had,
days.
We had a Cheeto
conference. The program's been dead
we
for
We had a
how
Cheeto
long?
Conference, I think, in July of last...
What's a Cheeto conference?
It's what MAS became. It's a Chicano Institute teaching and organization that the MAS teachers teach to the community and to people from around the country. We have these programs that you're talking about. The thing is, you're just blind to reality. You don't see it, so it doesn't exist.
Next time you have one, please invite me, because
I
would
love to gladly invite. We're having the next one, I think, is in June. And you know what?
6 months away? If this is so important,
because we're not rich, all right, we don't have resources.
You have 10,000
like, we don't
members.
Have Jim Click being able to donate
10,000 members, have, $1 a person.
There's not members. We have 10,000 alumni.
Alumni, whatever.
Well, how many? Okay, should all the students that took calculus donate to the school so calculus can be taught?
If they believe in it, they donated it.
No, it's a public school. We
this
are
this morning we proved we it. They believed giving, in a flag. You got $3,000 raised in 2 hours.
We are giving money,
just
when
like
we
that.
Pay taxes. We pay our property taxes. We
you need
we
the government entity to survive, is what you're saying.
No, we're
you
surviving.
Need to have
we're
the
surviving
system
as
just
it is
perpetuated by the government by your taxes.
The sure. government needs a you know the military needs the government to survive. The Pentagon needs I mean many contractors. Raytheon needs the government to survive, and that's our main employer here. But I don't hear you complaining about them. They're all you know.
But Sean has pointed out earlier in the show, he was saying that if this is so important to our area, shouldn't every district have this?
It's spread, every school it's district. Spreading in districts that are not in Arizona because it's not banned there. It's spread to L.A., which is one of the largest districts in the country. San Francisco just got it. Texas is creating one.
How
San
long
Diego's
was it
getting,
in place before it was banned?
About 13 years.
13 years in one school district. It didn't spread to any other school district throughout the entire state. Why?
It takes time to build something. You know, it takes time to build a curriculum. It takes time to build something from scratch.
13 years is quite a bit of time.
And guess what?
And there are five school districts in the Pima County area. One of them, especially because we're 60-70% Hispanic, Sunnyside should have picked it up.
Sunnyside has Mexican American Studies classes that are based on this. Floyd Wells had classes too. They didn't have a program, but this class was available at multiple.
But if we're such inundated in Hispanic community, those three school districts, particularly on the southwest side of town, should be screaming bloody murder for this program, and they're just not.
Sunnyside and TUSD and multiple politicians that you say didn't all issued resolutions against this law.
If they did it, they did it quietly. They didn't do it resoundingly enough to get it heard.
Guess what? We're under attack under lots of places. Immigrants are under attack. SB 1070. Dreamers are under attack. I mean, this education's under attack. These current budgets going to be an attacking it,
David, let me
more?
Ask I mean, you, are state lawmakers representing the Hispanic population, which is now 42% of the population?
I mean, not even close. I mean, the representative, how many black U.S. senators have we had? How many, you know, like four, I think. I mean, the leadership is still predominantly it's a white hegemonic structure. That's just a fact. I mean, look at the state of the elected officials from governor down to state superintendent. I mean, they don't represent the people in any way proportionally. And in fact, I mean, we got into this last time where a PhD Latino professor in education,
Dr. Garcia, who ran against Diane Douglas,
yeah, will lose to someone who never even showed up to debates. I mean, this is the nature of this.
But yet, Steve Montenegro can win, and he says that if you're an immigrant and you came to this country legally, then what Obama's doing is a slap in the face to you.
But see, people like
and he's a Hispanic representative.
People like Montenegro are interesting because you got to figure out how did they come to this country
legally.
No. What does that mean? How was their legal mechanism?
Oh, I'm sure he filed for his visa paperwork
because,
and brought it
because
came
everything
across.
Changed. No. You should find out because it's very interesting. Because he's a pastor, and he's also from a country that was under attack, very dangerous. The country that you now deport children back to because they're coming here to escape. That's what he did, but things were different back then. Back then, we
but he followed the rules. Yes or no?
He followed the rules that changed after 9/11.
He did it legally.
Guess what? If you're a slave and you escaped, you were breaking the rules. If someone brought you back to your master, you were obeying the rules. I mean, rules don't and laws do not always mean what's right. Rules are written by those in power, and that's what's happened in this country. I mean, Ellis Island allowed a lot of immigrants to come in legally, but now what's our quota for like Mexicans? Like 5,000 people a year? Like that's like the actual quota, but yet we allow them in to work. And I mean, it's so contradictory the way we treat immigrants in this country, because we want them for their labor, we want them to clean up our landscape and all that stuff, but then as soon as it comes to them like being a decent human being, we say go back where you came from, you illegal and all this stuff. That's what's the twisted thing about this whole thing.
All right, guys, that's going to have to do it for the showdown. Sean McCluskey, thank you for coming by. It's always good to see you. Happy New Year. And David Morales, thank you very much. And we'll see what happens with the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Any idea, David, when we're going to find out whether or not, any kind of ruling coming down?
My guess would be summer or fall.
Mm-hmm.
It usually takes about that many.
Okay, so we've got what happens in the meantime for
TUSD?
It'll
probably be after the whole 60-day compliance period that Hubenthal set out.
Oh, okay.
So many fireworks are coming still.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being on the Buckmaster Show. And whether you agree with Mr. McCluskey or whether you agree with Mr. Morales, at least they get an opportunity to have their say, and that's what's important. Thanks, guys. All right. We have Dr. Ann Weaver Hart of the University of Arizona coming up next on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, the Friday Focus interview will be with TUSD Governing Board member Cam Juarez. The Friday Roundtable features Tim Steller of the Arizona Daily Star and Mari Herreras of the Tucson Weekly. Weekend Watch is hosted by Matt Russell, Buckmaster noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice and always on BuckmasterShow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:35 on this Thursday afternoon. It's time for the CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show presented by TRIO. TRIO is Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities Incorporated. TRIO offers a comprehensive approach of programs and services to facilitate the creation of high-wage jobs through the attraction of new primary companies, the retention and expansion of existing primary companies, and increase business creation and entrepreneurship strength within our region. In the past 10 years, TRIO has facilitated nearly 70 project successes in Southern Arizona, representing more than 10,000 direct jobs and an overall economic impact of $4.3 billion. For more information, visit TRIO, that's TREOAZ.org. And joining us for this month's CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, Dr. Ann Weaver Hart is with us, president of the University of Arizona and a member of TRIO's Chairman's Circle. Dr. Hart, good to see you.
Well, Bill, it's wonderful to be here, Bill, and I always enjoy our conversations.
I do as well. Why is it important for the University of Arizona to have a seat at the table at TRIO's Chairman's Circle?
Well, as you know, because of your experience with TRIO, there is a critical need in our community, not only for more jobs, but for good paying jobs, and for an opportunity for young people to know that if they prepare themselves, that there will be a career that they can pursue in Southern Arizona. And the University of Arizona is the economic engine of the state, certainly of Southern Arizona. And as many people have heard me say repeatedly, great cities need great universities, and great universities need great cities, and I would say regions, because we mutually benefit from the prosperity of the region, and the better the work is here, the better the quality of life is here, the more high-quality faculty, students, and staff we can recruit to the University of Arizona. They work, they pay taxes. It's a wonderful synergy of mutual benefit, and it's critical for us to be a part of that energy.
And it's a huge employer, the University of Arizona.
We are the biggest public employer. Obviously, Raytheon and our other aerospace employers, Davis-Monthan, are huge. But the University of Arizona is a huge employer, and a lot of people don't realize that it's not just student affairs employment or even faculty employment, but we are a contributor to the economy of our region in many ways that people don't realize. When we bring in external funding, either from private partners or federal funders, those are new dollars to the Southern Arizona community. They are spent in the community on salaries for people who wouldn't be here otherwise, on materials. They are direct infusions into our prosperity. And when you think about things like the Mir Lab at the University of Arizona, where we actually manufacture a product unavailable anywhere else in the world, employ those people in our economy in great paying jobs, spend money directly in our economy, and bring in outside dollars that stimulate the prosperity of our region. You know, we're there on all fronts, from entrepreneurship to manufacturing to education, and those grocery stores hum with U of A people.
They really do. And of course, then you're talking about all the people who are the suppliers to the University of Arizona and the products that the people that work at the university need. So it is a kind of trickles down to so many levels.
It really does, in at billions of dollars a year. And it's in many ways an incredible benefit of an institution whose core mission is research, creation of new knowledge, education, preparation of the future professionals, and yet at the same time we have this great synergy with the prosperity of our region.
What do you see as the big challenge facing us here in Tucson?
I think that the economy of the state is a major challenge, and that we are going to be facing real challenges in keeping our economy going and running. We don't have federal stimulus money anymore. We don't have that to fall back on when we have major cuts. And we don't have the opportunity, if we don't pursue things like TRIO, to develop jobs that pay enough to even pay for the social services and general governmental services that they require. For example, at the Arizona Commerce Authority, we've talked about how jobs don't really pay for themselves until they yield about $50,000 a year, because just governmental services eat up the revenue from taxes on jobs that pay less. And our challenge here in Tucson is to keep not only jobs available, but jobs that pay sufficient remuneration that people can afford, not just to buy things, but to pay taxes that pay for services. And I think it's a huge challenge for our region, and we're actually drifting down rather than up.
And of course, when companies look at the University of Arizona, and that's part of TRIO's job, is recruitment, they want a strong university in place in the community that they're going to locate. It's that simple.
It is very simple. And in fact, I personally participate with some of the meetings with executives looking at our region, because they want to know about the workers that we produce, and they don't mean workers as in you're going to sling burgers.
Right.
They mean the educated future workforce of their companies, and they want us to be able to show them how the cultural and artistic environment at the university creates a community and helps to contribute to a community that their employees will want to live in. And we are a real part of that overall effort.
What are some of the questions that these people that come and you sit in on these meetings, what are these CEOs, what are they asking about Tucson? What kind of questions?
Well, they're very interested in our school system, mm-hmm. and are very concerned that their employees have the opportunity to have access to good schools for their children. And that's at all levels, primarily K-12, but certainly at the university level, they are interested in career opportunities for the graduates of the university and whether our graduates are interested in staying in Southern Arizona and working with them. Our new Tech Launch Arizona initiative often very much interests them because, as we know from the economies in the country, they cluster around lots of different industries and businesses. It's as simple as four gas stations on a corner yields more business for all the gas stations because cars stop. We are synergistic and we help each other be successful. So we need to get momentum and keep that momentum going. And TRIO is absolutely committed to being a partner with county governments across the region and with our cities and with industry to make that a reality.
And the competition that TRIO faces is enormous from just about every imaginable place, from Albuquerque to the east of us to the north and west. It's all there.
Even Las Vegas, which you know a lot of us would say, Las Vegas? Well, yes, because companies care about how much their utilities will cost. Mm. They care about quality of life, but they also care about tax breaks that governments are willing to give them. And I know that our citizens and the listeners of your show have read about some of those tax break wars when we're trying to compete to recruit businesses here to our region.
What do you think about incentives? It isn't, you have to offer something.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the incentives need to be time limited. Mm-hmm. They need to grandfather. Sunset. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Let's not preserve them forever. Let's sunset them. And they need to be rational and pay for themselves. And it's really important that we are good partners with our government and that we provide sort of quality of life incentives as well as monetary incentives.
All right. Well, we urge everyone, certainly take a look at TREO's website.
Absolutely.
TREO, TREOArizona.org. That's probably the best place for folks to find out more information about what TREO is all about. Dr. Hart, thank you for speaking with us about economic development. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the other challenges the University of Arizona will be facing after we take a break. So stick around.
Thank you so much, Bill.
We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control's patented foam treatment process. Trusted to rid the military base on Johnson Atoll of termites. Trusted by Tucson and Southern Arizona residents to rid their homes of termites. Locally owned and operated since 1980. We know what bugs you. Five-Star Termite and Pest Control. Our president began working on an alternative termite treatment process in the early 90s. In 2001, we were awarded a U.S. patent for developing this new method to protect homes from termites. Five-Star, leading the pest industry in innovation from right here in Tucson. 886-0045 or fivestartermite.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
At Perfection Auto Works, we can do everything from a simple tune-up, oil change, air conditioning, engine rebuild, or brakes. We specialize in Porsche, Audi, Volkswagen, Volvo, BMW, and Mercedes.
We work on the whole thing, from the tires to the trunk lock.
323-8650. 323-8650. Our free 26-point inspection looks ahead for problems.
323-8650. That's 323-8650.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:48 on this Thursday afternoon. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends over in Silver City, and Grant County, New Mexico. If you're looking for a great weekend getaway, may I strongly suggest heading over to Silver City. You want to get away from all your cares and worries, go someplace completely different. Well, Silver City's the place to do it. You can hike, you can camp, you can explore the historic downtown area. Really fun environment. It's a lovely place to go. We send so many listeners of the Buckmaster Show over to Silver City. They stay at great places and they visit a lot of fun things, and they come back and they say, Bill, that was a good weekend. We had a great time. Great places to stay like Casitas de Gila Guest Houses and Little Toad Creek Inn. You can find out all about it on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. We continue now our conversation with University of Arizona President Dr. Ann Weaver Hart. Dr. Hart, good news. Folks read in the paper this morning a huge gift to the University of Arizona Music School, something I think is a $20 million gift.
$20 million.
Whoa.
And it will establish endowments for scholarships, for visiting professorships. It will have a huge impact on the future of the university and the School of Music. And it is due to the generosity of Alan and Devine Fox in honor of Alan's father, Fred Fox, who is a world-class American jazz musician and 100 years old.
Yeah, he's still very active. That picture in the paper today, working with young UA students. The guy's 100 years old.
He is amazing.
He's still going strong, sharing his talent.
I heard him in concert at the University of New Hampshire over a decade ago, and was just impressed with how old he was and how active he was. And I cannot wait for our formal dedication of the School of Music and an opportunity to see him again and tell him how much I enjoyed hearing him play.
Well, people like the Foxes are the people that really keep the engine running for the University of Arizona. Those gifts really are what make the University of Arizona a world-class institution.
Absolutely. Private philanthropy is the value added. We work very hard to make sure that the U of A is a world-class setting for education and the creation of new knowledge, the creation of new art, innovation, and new and surprising answers to sometimes intractable problems. But philanthropy adds scholarships and support to bring in experts from other places, opportunities to bring in guest stars like Fred Fox to the Fox School of Music to work with our young musicians and show them the way and how that kind of quality is a part of their future and that they should expect it.
Well, being a big fan of the University of Arizona, I was very concerned when we had State Senator Steve Farley was our Friday Focus interview here on the show, Dr. Hart, last Friday, and Senator Farley is very concerned about the sea of red ink that the state lawmakers are, of course, facing, but he's worried that the University of Arizona and ASU, NEU, the state university system, will be a target for big cuts this time around.
Well, what we're hearing is that there are so many entitlement programs and so many programs that the legislators believe are untouchable, like prisons, like child and protective services, that when you leave out access, prisons, child services, K-12, and you know about the K-12 lawsuit, that if you set aside those portions of the state budget and only look at what's left, you pretty much have to gut everything else. And so Senator Farley's concern has been expressed in my hearing. And others have said that they want to find other solutions that protect the key role of public world-class higher education in Arizona. And we're going to work very hard with the legislature to see if we can find solutions that don't end up turning us into simply state-located institutions in buildings that the state owns. And we can't be so divorced from the great state that is a part of our roots and our future and to which we contribute at the level that some of those who are talking to Senator Farley may envision as a necessity from the current situation.
Yeah, now if you take away the set-asides, like you mentioned the prison system, it's about, if you think of it as a giant pie, two-thirds are pretty much set-asides.
At least
two-thirds. So you're now dealing with about a third where the university comes in and where public education comes in. So they don't really have many, they're looking at, they don't really see many choices. And that's what's dangerous.
It's very dangerous. And in the conversations, there are many legislators and leaders in the executive branch who believe that revenue is not an option. And you all read Governor Ducey's remarks about his philosophy, his hope to find other solutions. And we want to be his partner in making us more entrepreneurial, in helping us to find ways to save money, but then to use the money we save to contribute to our core mission. And unlike the last legislative session, pardon me, mm-hmm. where the money we saved on refinancing our debt got swept by the state, so we have no incentive to spend money, to save money when we don't get to save it. So we need to modernize the relationship between our three universities and the state. If they want to be our partners, they need to help us find ways to increase our revenue and not to gut their constitutional responsibility to provide access to a world-class higher education system, which is a part of the Constitution of the state of Arizona.
Yeah, because if indeed you were to gut the universities, and that's some of the rumors that we are hearing, that what is called zeroing out the university funding, there was a time when university funding was, I don't know, almost 30-35%. It's down to about 10% now, state funds, correct?
Well, and that's the funding for the general and education budget. And at one time, it was more than three-fourths.
Okay.
For general and education.
Whoa.
And that's what we are not restricted to spend. So, for example, the gift that the Fox family has given us is restricted to the School of Music and for very specific purposes in the School of Music and can't be used by law or donor intent to replace our core budget for general and education expenses. And the proportion of those general and education expenses funded by tuition and state appropriation has flipped since 2008 and is now about three-fourths tuition instead of being appropriation. And so our students become our primary funders rather than our society committing to world-class public education.
So the tuition going up, but it reaches a point where you just can't keep asking for more from the students.
Well,
we get about
$1,800. We now have about $1,800 less per student,
okay,
even with the tuition increases of the last 5 years. And we can cut. We can economize. We are doing that. We've transferred over $25 million of direct administrative expenses back into our core education functions. We're finding constant ways to reduce overhead. But we all know that a great business can't simply cut its way out of its challenges. There have to be other solutions as well. And in fact, there are many people who are willing to pay far more for our quality of education than we charge our out-of-state students, let alone our in-state students. And so the statement, you can't keep increasing tuition, mm-hmm. well, that depends on what outcome our citizens want. There are all kinds of things you can do. Are they things we want to do? That's a different question.
When will that decision be made on tuition?
The decision on tuition will depend a great deal on the outcome of the legislative session. But those of you who are a little bit masochistic and have sat through the three-hour strategic plan and budget plan presentation that we presented last November know that we've built a long-term financial plan of growth and development for the University of Arizona that assumes a very gradual inflation-only based increase in tuition on a regular and predictable basis. And that's not a freeze. That's a cost increase that reflects the actual cost of preparing and presenting. And according to our economists in the nation and the world, about 2% a year is what good, strong economies need. And those are things that we have to build in. There are temporary relief outlets. Currently, gas prices are low. We'll save some dollars there. Everyone in our society will save dollars there until petroleum-based industries start going belly up, and then people start losing their jobs. So it's a totally interdependent system. But the state is not immune to our need to make the kind of decision that preserves the mission of the institution. And turning our three great universities, and especially our Association of American Universities world-class research university, the U of A, into a mediocre, obscure state university that nobody knows anything about nor attends from anywhere but around here is not what we hope for our future.
Dr. Ann Weaver-Hart, thanks for being on the show. Good to see you. We will talk again often as this legislative battle shapes up. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
If you're looking for a great auto mechanic, and people always are, Mike Emery and his team over at Perfection Auto Works, they can help you out with your foreign and domestic automobile needs. PerfectionAutoWorks.com. I've been over there. You could eat off the floors of their auto bays there. They're so clean. Great operation. Check them out, PerfectionAutoWorks.com. Coming up this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4. Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning, 6 to 8. Daily Double with Christy Simone, 8 to 9. Me and Ed Alexander, we're back with you, 12:04. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7. AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.